Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush, moves up in the pocket, short line drive throw. It's caught by the tight end, Ferguson, 35, hit at the 30. The ball is loose, it bounces, it's picked up by Buda Baker. Packins it in on the near sideline. The ball was bouncing and flying and finally reeled in at the 26-yard line of Arizona.
Thank you to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Yeah, that was a big turnover. Three in total for the Dallas Cowboys last night, and you turn the ball over, Pearl, you're going to lose. 27-17 is the final score. Dallas drops to 3-5-1 on the season. Cardinals also at 3-5. But this one was shocking on a few levels. First of all, it's not that Arizona is a bad team. They actually are in all these games. Yeah. They had lost all their games by 4 points or less. They are alive in every game. And with Jacoby Brissett, they're way better on offense. But for Dallas, this should have been a good matchup for them because they are this awesome offense. You mentioned at home.
They're able to score 40 points a game or something at home.
I mean, look at what they did to the Packers. Do we think that the Packers defense is that much better than Arizona? Those teams played each other pretty tightly. So I just, I was really surprised that Arizona seemed to dominate this game. Again, final score 27-17, but it felt like Arizona was in control this entire game.
Yeah, I mean, the problem was they couldn't protect Dak. For some reason, the offense didn't look as comfortable. Dak was not comfortable. He still made some plays. Let's talk about Jacoby Brissett, though. That was bad luck for Dallas that Jacoby Brissett was out there, which is so funny.
Explain.
He's so clearly better than Kyler Murray. There's just no doubt about it. He can actually throw to the middle of the field. There's so many things that Jacoby Brissett can do that Kyler Murray can't do to run the offense. So, and then Dallas, there was a critical play. Actually, Bogues played a soundbite. Fourth and goal early in the game failed. Then they had another fourth down that failed. A couple plays here and there. But overall, I think it's because of some injuries, but their O-line just could not hold up to the Cardinals' defensive line. And that was the story of the game. Dak is amazing when you give him any time whatsoever. But if you get him off his spot enough, then it's hard for them to run that offense.
Yeah, he tweaked an ankle early in the game and then had to play through it at the end. Maybe he didn't have enough on his throws because there were a couple lollipops out there that was not not characteristic of Dak Prescott. Again, it wasn't like he was hobbling around out there. It wasn't like Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, but you know, maybe that did impact him a little bit.
We also heard Josh Sweat's name a lot. The pass rusher on the Cardinals felt like, they would go after a missed throw, they would show Josh Sweat just abuse his man and get to Dak. Dak did not have the time he wanted.
Pearl, Calais Campbell closed out the game for them. He's 39 years old.
He's still good, though.
I know. Manny, can I hear cut eight, please? Here's Dak Prescott saying the stats don't matter. The Cowboys got dominated last night.
Games, play, stats, none of that's done on paper. You've got to go out there and you've got to earn it that night with everything taken into account. And they kicked our ass.
Yep. That's about it. And so meanwhile, the question that I have and what I'm actually – I feel very confident in is that this is Jerry Jones' most embarrassing year. And
a lot of competition.
With recent years, I get it. But this is a year that started with a documentary touting how amazing Jerry is by himself and all the risks that he's taken and how he's such an innovator and, you know, how he helped grow the league and all of that and grow the Cowboys. Well, that's all well and good, but that was 30 years ago. And, you know, living in the past, a little, you know, trip down memory lane. And Pearl, you even said you think that he's trying to recreate the 90s Cowboys. Well, different time and quite frankly, just not as good as those 90s Cowboys were. Don't have nearly the amount of, dogs on defense because of injuries. Yeah. And to be honest, like, I think this has all been embarrassing for Jerry. All the Micah Parsons stuff has been embarrassing. Whether or not you wanted Micah Parsons on this Dallas team or not, the process was completely flawed in how you trade a player of that magnitude. And now here they are, made a trade yesterday, teased a trade. We're trading for someone we can't tell you who it is Today we find out it's the recently benched Logan Wilson, the linebacker from the Cincinnati Bengals, for a 7th-round pick.
So, in a sense, he's trying to recreate one part of the 90s Cowboys. The 90s Cowboys had an amazing offensive line. They were all crazy as all get out, famously, but they were amazing. Then in 2010s, he had this incredible offensive line, made some of the greatest picks in franchise history, famously did not draft Johnny Manziel so he could get, I think it was Zach Martin. And now he has used every first-round pick on offensive line. He's like, this is how you win football. You have a wall up front. And then, but the problem is they're just a little too young, a little too injured. And that formula has worked to some extent, but the defense, you're right, they totally neglected it. They let Micah Parsons go. They had untimely injuries. Even Deron Bland, their star cornerback, has been hurt. Trayvon Diggs has been hurt. DeMarvion Overshawn, their budding star, went down. I guess he's going to come back. It's just a comedy of errors on defense. We forgot, by the way, we were talking about Dak to start there. The defense was awful last night. Can we also say that? They just failed to tackle again and again. Cardinals are on their third and fourth string running back, and they looked like Walter Payton. They were unbelievable last night.
I know. And Brissett, I said, looked like Dan Marino in the first half. Like, that guy couldn't miss.
How about the play after the halftime when Michael Wilson caught the ball and ran for 50 yards downfield, the Cardinals receiver? That looked like they were playing like a good high school team against a bad high school team.
And obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. with a big night. Seven catches on 10 targets for 96 yards and a touchdown on a day when an article came out on ESPN of Marvin Harrison Sr. calling out the Arizona Cardinals offense. And I'll paraphrase for you. He basically said, if you took me, Hall of Famer Marvin Harrison Sr., and put me on this Arizona team right now, Canton would call and ask for my gold jacket back. Basically implying that nobody can succeed. If I couldn't succeed on this offense, nobody can succeed in this offense. And then his son went out and had a really big night. Yeah. But there's a couple other reasons why this is embarrassing for Jerry. Like, you know, and I'm not trying to kick a guy while he's down, but to me, this is just all of the, like, the normal BS you're used to with Jerry Jones. And it's almost like added BS on the top, because you had this drawn out Micah Parsons will they, won't they? And usually that ends with Jerry actually keeping the talent, you know? And instead, he decides to trade him away, and you get Kenny Clark, fine, but you got nothing else to help you this season when you have the highest paid quarterback in the league by average annual value. It just, it's embarrassing, because I feel like he tried to call a shot earlier this year with that documentary. Remember how awesome I am. Remember how great I am. And now what we're watching in real time is just wildly disappointing.
Wildly disappointing. I mean, listen, nobody had the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl this year. Everyone knew this was going to be kind of a down year a little bit, right? I mean, I guess maybe they raised their hope this year. Would you consider this one of the massive disappointments around the NFL? Because I think they came in at 7.5-8 win total.
That's
like
fine.
We knew the defense was going to stick. They just traded Micah Parsons for draft picks. So you could also turn that on its head and say, well, they're building for the future as well. They're admitting that there's at least a partial rebuild.
Well, that's then bass ackwards to me, because you do that while Dak Prescott's in his prime, when you're paying him all this money and you make the trade for George Pickens. Now you're going to do the will they, won't they play Pickens, who, by the way, they couldn't find for three quarters. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he starts being awesome and moving the ball.
Guys. He fumbled, but yeah.
He was great. Ended up fumbling. They recovered, right? And then he also gets a personal foul penalty. And it's like, we were just, not to like pounce on it, but you're almost waiting for him to have a boneheaded play like that. And it was a weak penalty, I'll give you that. But it is a point of emphasis with the league. You cannot taunt guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay.
That's on you.
They need to rebuild the defense. They really need, and they shouldn't pay any more of these guys. They just need to get young and physical and fast on defense. I don't exactly know how to do it, Maggie, but those draft picks are going to help. If they take another offensive lineman, by the way, they should be kicked out of the league. They need to go. And if somehow Caleb Downs falls to them, the Ohio State safety, like, they need defensive young stars. And then I'm fine with the offense. Even last night, the offense moved the ball. They just weren't able to punch it in.
Yep.
And I think Javonte Williams is a revelation. He's only 25, by the way. He feels a lot older than that. Former Broncos running back who is really killing it this year for the Cowboys. So it's all about rebuilding this defense. I understand what you're saying. They kind of raised their own expectations this year by being so good on offense. But let's be realistic. It is time. They haven't really rebuilt in a long time. When's the last time they like really ripped the Band-Aid? And they're not,
but they're not doing that now.
They're not going to do it on offense, but they have to rebuild that defense from ground zero.
Yeah. Do you want Matt Eberflus to be doing that? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. He's the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Sean is in Oregon. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say that this is what happens on a first-year head coach half the time. It just don't work out. Mm. People can say what they want about Mike McCarthy and his playoff record, but the man won games.
Yeah.
And with Micah Parsons, Jerry's making an example out of him on what happens when you try to play hardball with Jerry Jones. And he just ain't going to tolerate him anymore. He's an old man. Have a great day, you guys.
Sean, thank you.
Thanks, Sean. But so, Jerry's given in to hardball before, though.
He usually does. Like, yeah. This is all usually theater, and then he ends up paying guys at the top of the market. Happened with Dak twice. Yeah. Happened with CeeDee Lamb.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Happened with Ezekiel Elliott back in the day.
I think the difference, though, is this one, the player slash agent were embarrassing him. The player's making comments. The player's laying on tables. The agent's making public comments. This was different than with Dak or with CeeDee Lamb, where those guys were radio silent. Dak showed up to training camp and just acted like everything was normal. This was a little different. I do think there was some aspect of, this guy's actually going to embarrass me. Okay, watch this.
I haven't seen CeeDee Lamb say or do anything since his girlfriend hit his phone at the draft night. Like, CeeDee Lamb says nothing, right? I mean, maybe I'm missing some CeeDee Lamb interviews, but EJ brings up a good point. He's so low-key, where Micah is so vocal. Maybe that's the difference in the dynamic, because you're right, usually he pays him.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So on the poll question here, is this Jerry Jones' most embarrassing year? 72% of the public is with me on this one. And Pearl, I know you're, I think, just a lot of years run together for you. You're like, how do you pick this year out of all the other years that have been embarrassing?
Yeah, I think here's a question. Is it different? Is he slipping, as an owner? Is he making mistakes that are really going to cripple the franchise now? Or is he just sort of making bad judgment calls? I'm not really sure how to evaluate it. I mean, I guess we have to see how the season ends up.
And I think, to EJ's point before and Sean's point before, like, it depends how you saw that Micah Parsons negotiation. Was it because Jerry actually did not want to pay Micah Parsons because he doesn't help the run defense get any better? Or is it because he got in his feelings because the agent was not going to lay down, the player was not going to agree to some, handshake deal in a meeting that he didn't know he didn't realize what was going on in the meeting, according to Micah Parsons.
You know, it's funny, too. Obviously, Jerry Jones was waiting for Micah to have a bad game because Micah got no pressures. I think maybe the first time in his career, couldn't get anywhere near Bryce Young because the Panthers never threw the ball.
Right.
So I think Jerry saw a bad game, Packers lose, this is my time to sort of talk big, and then they lost the game.
Oh, boy. Cowboy fans, is this as embarrassed as you've ever been? Let's go to Jim, who's in South Carolina, wants to talk about college football and the Heisman race. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. Great show as always. Hey, I just want to know why no one is talking about Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. I know that all the Heisman hype is always around quarterbacks, but you've got a player who literally is the best college football player this year, and no pun intended, not getting a whole lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting up gaudy numbers.
Can I say, Jim, I'm a don't draft a running back high guy. I will use the first overall pick on Jeremiah Love. I love that man. He's a combination of Reggie Bush and Derrick Henry. Let's go. I'm with you, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, I think here's the reason why. And, you're not wrong. Jeremiah Love is awesome. But I think anyone who could have possibly been considered in a Heisman race for Notre Dame, I think it's hard when you start off the season 0-2, even though the loss to Miami and the loss to A&M were extremely as close as could be. And it looks like Texas A&M is one of the best teams in the country. So I'm not faulting him for that. Love still ran for over 100, almost 100 yards, 90-plus yards against Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to kill him. I think because they're going to be in the playoff, right? So I think the record's fine. I mean, the problem is he needs so many yards to actually break through because they don't give it to running backs anymore.
Right, but what I was going to say from that is the two highest profile games to start the season, and they lose in those games, even though he's not the problem.
Oh, it's the visibility of it, you're saying.
Exactly. Then, you get great against Purdue and Arkansas and Boise and NC State. Then you play USC, great game, right? He rushes for 228 yards against the Trojans. But what's USC really doing? It's like, you always talk about that Notre Dame schedule is just not
Oh yeah,
they don't. It doesn't have enough teeth.
They have the ACC schedule, but they never get the good ACC. Anyway, they get a lot. But
this year, kudos to them. They took on Miami and they took on Texas A&M, which they've done they played at A&M last year and won. And this year, they got them at home and they lost. But I just think that people look at that Notre Dame schedule and they love it because it means Notre Dame's going to be there for the college football playoff and they're a big fan base and we love, you know, either rooting for them or against them. But I think it's hard for guys to get Heisman love.
I'm not sure. I think the problem is to get the Heisman or the running back, I think you got to get Rashaan Salaam. I'm looking at some stats, had over 2,000 yards. It's very rare nowadays. And Love's at 894 right now through the season. So I don't think he can even approach 2K. Because also, too, they have multiple running backs and they're obviously... Yep. They're playing nobody, so why wear him out? I would save him for the playoff. Yeah, he's fantastic. I think you could also have a big draft debate about him, too, because, again, Ashton Jeanty, last year's big star, went number 6 overall, and it turned out to be a terrible pick because the Raiders didn't need a running back. I think that's going to be the debate around him, too. But absolutely deserves Heisman consideration, Jeremiah Love. There's no doubt about that.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, lots to do, including we've got some sound for you from the Dodgers parade yesterday. It looked pretty wild. And asking you this question about the Toronto Blue Jays, because I saw a little of this yesterday, yeah. Pearl, and we were so busy breaking down the actual games yesterday. I don't know if we gave enough attention to this question. Was that the worst loss we've ever seen in sports? And I have a reason why I think the answer could be yes, not to be a prisoner of the moment. But we'll get to that in just a moment. It's the Maggie and Pearl Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
My teammates have been pretty humble. But I think it's time to talk that shit. Everybody's been asking questions about a dynasty. How about 3 and 6 years? How about a back-to-back? Yes! We're a mother effing dynasty, baby!
I love that he censored himself on the last part. That was Kike Hernandez yesterday. Dodgers now, well, he was the great Dodger, now maybe legendary Dodger. Dodgers are indeed a dynasty, according to Kike Pearl.
Well, I mean, that's obviously a ding. Calling yourself a dynasty is ridiculous. Like, dynasty is something other people call you. You don't call yourself a dynasty.
Well, he said his teammates are too humble. Well, so he's got to be the guy who's got to stand out in front and talk that bleep.
Yeah, it's just, you know, nerdy people in the media call you a dynasty, not yourself. I'm a dynasty. That's like kind of lame, right?
I don't know. I can understand why everyone felt like they were on one yesterday. Obviously, had the Kendrick Lamar going big time. And I said, I think this is now the new L.A. anthem, right? I mean, move over Tupac, move over Randy Newman.
Totally. Absolutely. But it's kind of like LeBron telling us he's better than Michael Jordan. Like, it's just weak. The things that should be ascribed to you from the outside, you don't do yourself. But Kiki's so emotional. Like, he's amazing. Like, every time he got out, he acted like his best friend just died. Like, I cannot fault that guy. He's the most competitive person on both teams in that whole series. But to say we're a dynasty, kind of lame.
What's a Ryan Newman?
A Randy Newman.
Ryan Newman's a race car driver.
Ryan Newman's at Manny Tires. You might have run across him when you do your NASCAR reads.
Who's Randy Newman?
He's the guy who sings L.A., we love it.
The song I Love L.A.? He also
plays
sings
at a lot of sporting events.
Lakers, do you remember any Lakers win? They played after every game. It's Manny, like Frank Sinatra for the Yankees.
Have you seen Toy Story?
Oh yeah, of course.
He also sings "You Got a Friend in Me."
Oh, you should have led with that.
There we go. Okay, I have no problem with Kike Hernandez calling themselves a dynasty. You want to know why? Because I think they are a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, even though I don't love the 2020 World Series because it was a 60-game World Series, I mean, how much more do the Dodgers have to, like, how much more do they have to do? I guess you would probably say they have to win another one, but they've won the NL West 12 out of the last 13 years. They've made the playoffs for 13 straight years, and they've made the World Series five times since 2017. And now they've won back-to-back in 3 and 5 years. I don't know. Kind of feels like it applies.
So any back-to-back champion team is a dynasty, in your opinion, then?
So I was actually thinking about that.
Yep.
I'm wondering if maybe nowadays, in
right.
certain sports, we have to start just saying back-to-backs feel like dynasties, because I don't love it, but maybe in baseball, where it feels like it is extremely hard. I'm not saying it's easy
in
other sports.
Yeah, it's been 25 years since someone repeated.
But maybe Florida Panthers going back-to-back when Tampa Bay did it. I think we have to maybe expand our definition. And then you have teams like the Chiefs, and you have teams like the Warriors, where it's no doubt, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Those were definite dynasties.
I don't know. In the salary cap era, like, even every time you say the word dynasty, like, you have to put a little modifier on it. They're a modern dynasty. So is it really a dynasty if it's a modern dynasty? I mean, come on. We know it's, and it's really the cap for doing most of this, and less so in baseball. Thank you, deferred money for the Dodgers. Yeah, I'm not buying dynasty yet. Yeah, they're amazing. Obviously, they're the most talented team. They have about how many MVPs and how many Cy Young Award winners? They're great. But I still think if you're looking at a third in a row, which was talked about yesterday, you still feel like they're going to need about 900 things to go right and 4 lucky bounces and 7 lucky things. Like, that is that the Yankees of the 50s? No, of course not.
Yeah, I mean, so different though, right? And they were talking three-peat yesterday, so you can get ready for all that chatter. Did not work well for the Chiefs, so I don't know if I would have gone down that path, but I think everyone had the booze flowing yesterday and they were feeling really good. Now, I do want to give a little bit of a silver lining here to Toronto Blue Jays fans.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from Darren Revell. I had not seen this until this morning. A Canadian resident named Eric, who lives 60 miles northwest of Toronto, won the Blue Jays 50-50 raffle, which was aggregated over 4 World Series games. Eric of Canada is going home with $25 million tax-free.
What?
Yeah,
Eric from Canada? What a shocker, though, by the way. Eric from Canada.
Spells it A-R-I-C. What?
I hate the way that... I hate that Eric spelling. It's either E-R-I-C or E-R-I-C-K. That's it.
I think it's like the Vikings.
So Eric Armstead, like he's one of those, right?
A-R-I-K, Eric Armstead.
No, the Vikings, Eric.
Spell
that's
like, like Leif
that's
Erickson?
An E, too.
Maybe.
Spell your name correctly.
Well... whatever, Manny. Anyway, this is the one Toronto Blue Jays fan who has a reason to smile today. You get $25 million tax-free because of that 50-50.
Dollars.
What do you think of Jeff with a G, Manny? Geoff?
No, I hate that. Geoff is one of the worst names in the history of mankind.
Literally my brother's name.
That's awful.
Literally my brother's name.
Your brother is a Geoff?
Yes, guys. And I'm disappointed that you all didn't know
you
that.
Tell him he has to go to the American consulate in Mexico and try to get that changed, because that's unacceptable.
Listen, my brother's got more talent in his pinky finger than the entire show.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. God, your name is spelled wrong.
Well,
how sedated were your parents that they spelled his name incorrectly? It's J-E-F-F.
Not for Jeff Gray. It's not. G-E-O-F-F.
It's Jeff.
Put that
Gray.
In your pipe and smoke it.
Did he get bullied on the playground?
He must have.
No, my brother was a president of the school. He's the most popular guy in town.
Jesus.
I know. This is what happens when you have Riz. So here's the
your
other
brother
part.
Donald Trump? What's happening here?
Donald Trump would be checkmated by Jeff Gray. He's Chuck Norris, as far as I'm concerned. But here's the thing. Toronto Blue Jays, good for Eric with an A, that he won $25 million tax-free. But I think it's time to start asking whether this was the worst loss in the history of sports. Now, I, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I think I have a PhD in bad losses. And I understand how terrible it can go at any moment. But that's also one game. It's 3.5 hours of agony, okay? Losing Super Bowls, all that stuff, Pearl. This was 48 hours of, like, pure hell, if you're a Toronto fan. First of all, to have the worst losses in history, I think it has to be a series. It can't just be a standalone game. I know EJ's Miami Hurricanes got like hosed in a call against Ohio State, but that was one game, okay? And those guys all went on to be rich and famous in the NFL. I think it's got to be a series, and it's got to have a painful Game 6 and a Game 7. So, like, obviously, we have a lot of Mets fans around here, and Mets, Red Sox 1986, Bill Buckner, right? This is painful for him. But was it a painful 48 hours? It was actually 72 hours because it was a rain delay at one point. The game got rained out back in the 80s. But don't you agree with me? It has to be a seven-game series, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I think the Blue Jays, this loss may qualify for worst ever.
Nah. I mean, T-Web timeout jumps to mind.
But again, that's the championship game. Those guys all went on to the
Russell
NBA
Wilson
mostly.
Russell Wilson interception at the
goal
line.
He already had won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Guardians, by the way. That one jumps to mind.
That was a bad one. But that was
a 65-year drought or whatever it was at that time.
But that wasn't 2 days of agony.
Yeah,
right?
I still think those are more probably... I mean, T-Web is always going to be more famous. I understand. I totally agree with you. It's like a very, very difficult... It's the worst way to lose, and baseball is the worst sport to lose in. But still, like, if you're looking at the worst loss ever, it doesn't top the list.
Okay, can I have another thing that might change your mind? So, C-Webb, Bill Buckner, you know, these guys who are associated, Jean Vandeveld, like, these guys who are associated where it's just one guy who ends up wearing the loss. How many people are wearing this loss for the Blue Jays? 10?
Well, I mean, are they wearing the loss or, like, who's wearing the loss? What do you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't just have one guy who can say, you screwed it up. Are we saying Shane Bieber, it's your fault? Or are we saying Jeff Hoffman, Shane Bieber, it's your fault?
No.
Are we saying John Schneider, it's your fault? Are we saying that it's, you know,
kind of
IKF because he didn't, you know, he didn't take a bigger lead off the third, even though the third base coach told him not to? Like, it's just, it's so spread out on how this, like, is it Dalton Varsho who couldn't get a hit? Who actually wears this loss? It's very different. I think more painful when the team wears it as opposed to Bill Buckner or C-Webb and one person kind of takes all the shrapnel.
But why is that more painful? I don't...
So, for the fans, totally spread out, no?
Oh, you can't find a scapegoat.
Can't point at one person unless the people are pointing at John Schneider.
There's no Steve Bartman.
There's no Bartman. Right, exactly. And he didn't even play for the team.
Yeah, no. But I mean, he's a scapegoat, right? Like, I think... Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I think that maybe makes it less painful, because it's a team loss.
Yeah, I know.
To like, me, like, and then in a way, like, I think about it, like, well, you win as a team as you lose as a team, and I think you can almost accept that. When it is just Steve Bartman, or for Mets fans, you know, Aaron Hallman, like, when you have those guys you can point to and be like, oh, that guy gave up that home run or made that dumb play, I think it's more painful, because, like, if that guy wasn't on the team, or that guy just did his job one day, then maybe things will be different. Now, for the Blue Jays, they're going to have to ask the third base coach, did he do his job? Did IKF do his job? Did Hoffman? Did Bieber? A lot of guys who came up short.
But I also think it was bad luck, too. The ball got caught between the fence and the ground, like little things like that. There was a lot of, like, and a guy hits a line drive that could have dropped but didn't drop it. It's a double play to end game six. Felt like there was luck, too. I almost feel like, I do agree, there's definitely no singular scapegoat. But you can point to, man, we just got a few bad breaks that were about the universe, not about any particular person. The base running was ridiculous.
You think Vlad Guerrero Jr. is thinking that this morning? Do you think it's the universe?
You're talking about the fans, though, not the players.
Well, it's probably a little combination.
I mean, those guys, they all have $300 million. They'll be fine. Pros don't care as much as we do.
Yeah, well, because they actually can influence the outcome of the game.
They have more control. But also, they also have more money than any human deserves, so they're fine. Anyway, but I do think it was a brutal fall. I have a friend who's a Toronto fan. It was brutal. I was actually worried, like, this is really going to affect this person. It's the worst one that I remember, but I feel like, by the way, I'm hearing a lot of not to be a prisoner of the moment from you, which makes me think that maybe you're being a prisoner of the moment.
No, if I say it, that it's like no offense. Before I make an offensive comment, I wash it away.
I feel like we're at ESPN and it's a heartfelt apology, like the 14th heartfelt apology.
What am I, Ryan Clark? No.
I just say you mean HFA, heartfelt apology. You are not, what is not to be prisoner of the moment?
Listen, okay.
NT something something.
Yeah.
The acronym for not prisoner of the moment.
It's I totally get it because it's hard to remember anything that feels as brutal as this Blue Jays loss is.
And as crazy as a win as it was for the Dodgers.
But there are 150 years of baseball going back to Lefty LaRue in 1887. What about that one?
Oh, I remember that season for Lefty.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Went up in smoke. He'll never live it down.
Because he smoked three packs a day.
I was going to say, with the rest of the guys down at the iron smelt. I don't know. I feel like this is bad. And believe me, I know bad losses. You guys want to throw them in my face. My teams have lost every which way you can possibly lose. And I just think this was painful because I don't remember 48 hours of pain.
Yeah. I think it makes top 10 lists. I'm not going to go number one. Again, Bill Buckner, that hurt. That hurt for a long time because not only did they lose the game. Yeah, exactly. You got to put it in historical context. Until 04, that was just like, man, we are a cursed franchise. At least the Blue Jays have won in 1993, was it?
They have two. 92, 93.
Now, yeah, at least they have two titles. So I think that it's definitely top 10. I will give you that for sure.
32 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago. Anyway, let's get to Bogus. Bogus, what do you think? Worst loss of all time? Does it make a claim?
Oh, it makes a claim, and I think your logic is very sound in that because it's a slow death. It's not
baseball
just the one game.
Is.
A lot of paper cuts.
Right, and they're up 3-2, and then game six happens. It ends the way it does. They have the lead for as long as they did in game seven. They could have, should have won before the Dodgers did. I mean, it just...
Guy hits a home run who hasn't hit a home run since mid-September. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, you're waiting for Shohei to come up and hit the tying home run, and Miguel Rojas beats him to it. Yeah, it doesn't make it. I mean, I was just looking, so I had it in front of me again, MLB.com yesterday, using a metric called championship win probability.
I saw that.
Three of the 12 most impactful game plays ever happen in Game 7 in terms of swinging the win probability in that kind of late stage. So... I mean, the game itself was nuts, and the loss is just excruciating.
I learned about that win probability. I also learned about something yesterday called a golden pitch. I did not know what that was. A golden pitch.
You mean the rule proposal about the golden? Oh, not the the golden batter. Sorry.
No.
That's a real thing.
Is that a Stu Gatz thing, I think, right? That he wanted the golden batter?
No.
They're talking about it.
Manfred proposed it, I think.
Oh, really?
Well, not like floated it. Not proposed it. It's not an actual thing under consideration.
So the golden bat would be basically you can pinch hit anybody who's already in the lineup at an eighth inning or later.
I want Shohei to hit here.
Right.
Is it eighth inning or later? That I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Yeah. But golden pitch turns out, and I'll look this up to make sure I'm getting it 100% right, is a pitch where the outcome of the game hinges on one pitch.
Okay, so it's more of an observation. It's not an actual rule change because they're changing everything in baseball.
No, it's a metric.
I like it.
Yeah, it's the Society of American Baseball Research, golden pitches.
Yeah, I'm reading this here. By definition, under the current best of seven World Series format, a golden pitch can only be thrown in a game seven of the World Series and only in the bottom of the ninth inning when the road team has the lead or in the bottom of the extra inning if the road team scores on the top.
So how many have there been?
I don't know. There are a couple. Yeah, there's been some close ones. There aren't many, though. I think seven. Seven times it's been thrown. I guess now eight, I guess, technically, because I guess Hoffman would count as eight. But 1912, 1926, 1962, 1972, 1997, 01, and 2014.
But that's not even playoffs, right? Are we talking about all? I think if you did playoffs, it would probably be obviously way
playoffs
fewer.
Is more. This is I believe just World Series.
Right.
Because this rule goes by the World Series.
I'm sorry. So of course, duh. Interesting, right? Golden pitch. Didn't know about that until yesterday.
There's a lot of tension. We're talking about where you put this history. I mean, can you imagine like just so many things in that series could have gone one inch to the left or one inch to the right, and the Blue Jays are champions.
And there's still so much back and forth about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's lead, whether it was right or wrong.
I was saying, they're the worst base running team ever. Like, and they got caught so many times on the bases. Like, they're the scrappy underdog. You can't be loose on the bases.
But they also made so many plays on the bases defensively too. Like, they were good getting the Dodgers at times. Mm. I mean, you had two bases loaded situations in Game 7 alone. Both teams got out of jams.
Yeah, crazy. But I mean, they gave away so many runs on the base pass. I think.
And I know, there probably weren't a lot of options, but there was no one else faster than IKF that they could have put in to pinch run. Even that to me was like, I don't think of IKF as a burner. Like,
but he's been the Bobichette backup this whole time, right?
But I mean, he's going to come in on defense anyway. So in theory, you just have another guy come in pinch run and then take him out and put IKF in for defense. I was surprised that they didn't have another faster guy.
To run for Bichette in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we know you have Bichette, who's once he goes on the base path late in the game, he's cooked. Have a guy on the roster that's just a speed guy.
Yeah, maybe they feel like whoever it is a butcher or something. They can't put him in the field.
We also saw them pinch run Vlad earlier in the series, and that also killed him.
Yeah, I just remember the image to me is Davis Schneider being about 14 feet away from home plate for the
run. That was a bad idea.
He's not your burner.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of a slow team, too.
Yeah.
We've been trying, switching to football, to translate what Jerry Jones said yesterday about the Cowboys making moves before today's trade deadline. Apparently, he was hinting at Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson. He's reportedly coming from Cincy for a 7th-round pick. This move happening the morning after the Cowboys dropped to 3-5-1.
Prescott gasping for air. Shotgun snap. Arizona 37 dumps it off to Williams. Quickly tackled on the near sideline. Ball charge free. Loose. Cardinals have got it. Was the ball blown dead? Is it a fumble? Let's see.
I didn't hear a whistle. Did you?
Oh, the Cardinals have got it.
Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Westwood One. That's the last of the mistakes from the Cowboy offense in a 27-17 loss to the Cardinals in Dallas on Monday Night Football. There was also 3 failed 4th downs, 2 of them well inside scoring position, not to mention Dak Prescott getting sacked 5 times. The Cowboy defense let Jacoby Brissett produce 261 passing yards, 3 total touchdowns. The Cardinal offense has been better in Brissett's 3 consecutive starts. This win, snapping a 5-game skid, but Jonathan Gannon said postgame, Kyler Murray will start once he is healthy. We still don't know how long Jaden Daniels will miss because of Sunday night's elbow injury. Dan Quinn now taking the blame for his QB still being out there in a game that was already decided.
And that was going to be the last drive for a couple of guys, Jaden and Zach and Debo and LT. And so we're not going to have any read run plays and meaning no carries, you know, for the quarterback on a run. And honestly, man, that's where I missed it. Of course, he could scramble. It's Jaden. It's what he's special at. And that is 100% that's on me.
So why is he out there? If you're not playing full whatever, full playbook, full effort, why is he out there at all? Like, once you're done going after the win, he's got to come off the field. Why is this weird, like, half-committed drive? Okay, he'll go out. He'll stay out there. We're not going to really do a lot of things to protect them. Just take them off the field.
I was just really surprised that Dan Quinn got this open and honest about it.
I think he had to. He didn't know what else he's going to do. Everyone knows he's wrong.
Yeah, but just say we're turning the page. Like, I don't know if I would admit this much because the season's gone really bad. I know he's got a lot of goodwill from being a good coach, I think, but last year getting the NFC Championship game, I don't know if I would have worn all this publicly.
I think he owed, though, those fans almost like an apology. Like, he really put their franchise at risk with that idiotic decision, which I think he now knows was a dumb decision.
Right.
Like, I think there was a lot of red meat. I know it's not maybe the largest fan base, but I family members who are Commanders fans,
they used to be a large fan base. Massive. Dan Snyder almost
and I saw former players being like, you could lose a locker room making a mistake like that.
The Commanders.
And he did the weird, like, oh, you never know what's going to happen answer Sunday night after the game. Like, he didn't take any responsibility really Sunday night. I think he had to do this yesterday.
I think he was trying to get
some
rhythm going. I mean, Jaden hasn't been there forever, so, like, kind of
try to get a score or something to build off of.
Yeah,
he did say they weren't going full pedal to the
ground. Yeah, but of course, Jaden Daniels, if he sees green grass, is going to run. By the way, I miss him. What happened with the MRI?
They still have not told us what's going on yet.
Crazy. Well, that's where we got to leave that. Coming up, I have finished my list of the top 5 things I want to shoot into the sun. So we'll get that. Also, I saw a headline, Pearl, and I had to read it 3 times just to make sure, A, that it was true, that I was reading the right thing, and that I wasn't getting like tricked again. This one was really weird. We'll get to that. And we have so much more for you. Question now, was that Toronto Blue Jays loss the worst loss ever? 888-710-4ISN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys lose last night. Arizona Cardinals now 3-5-1 on the season, yet still wheeling and dealing. Jerry making a trade for Logan Wilson of the Cincinnati Bengals, the linebacker, for a 7th-round pick. So there you go. We'll get to the headline that shocked me more than anything in just a moment. But Pearl, this one was a little surprising. You know, kind of got lost in the shuffle because it was a classic Friday sort of news dump thing. But the Miami Dolphins fired their general manager, Chris Greer, over the weekend. But in that story, not only are they keeping head coach Mike McDaniel, the weirdest guy alive, not only are they keeping him for the rest of the season, they're saying that he might actually be with the team even in the future, despite the fact that this season has completely gone off the rails.
It's so weird because every time you hear him talk, he sounds like dead man walking, like he's resigned to his fate. Almost the like he's making a joke out of this because he knows he's not going to be back. I have no idea what's going on here. It doesn't make any sense. He has won football games. It's not like he's been Marty Morningwig in Detroit at 0-16. He's won football games, made the playoffs. So I get that, but there must be a relationship here that goes deeper, and I guess they blame the GM?
Because we're another day closer to
I mean, they have made some bad picks, probably.
Listen, they're totally right, and the GM, Chris Greer, you know, he was not good enough to justify how bad the roster has gotten, right? Like, and he's been there now for 3 head coaches, I want to say, Chris Greer.
But the roster's not necessarily bad on paper. There seems to be no chemistry with the roster. It's not that the players are bad. Something else is bad.
Yet Mike McDaniel, the head coach who you would think would be, you know, responsible for getting the chemistry right, he gets to stay. And what it made me think was, that probably means Tua is definitely staying because we're looking at the Miami Dolphins potentially having the number 1 overall pick, number 2. You would think got to go quarterback here and got to try to figure out an exit ramp for Tua. But if you're going to stay with Mike McDaniel, maybe you're staying with Tua also, and maybe they're giving this another shot.
Well, I think you're on the hook for some money with Tua. That's probably why. I don't think there would be a 1 or 2 pick at all. I feel like they could beat anybody on a given day. You have no idea what team is going to come out there. They might look awful or they might look really good. I mean, they whooped Atlanta, which was out of nowhere. I know. We'll see. Do they keep Bradley Chubb, who's getting healthier? Do they keep Jalen Waddle? I think they keep Waddle. I don't think anyone's giving up a first round pick for Jalen Waddle. I don't think they're that bad. So now I think the owner's saying, hey, Mike McDaniel, you want to stay? Earn it here. You know, get these guys playing the right way. I know that you think that's a mistake because why run it back even if they win 3 or 4 games?
Yeah, I just think that you're wasting everybody's time, quite frankly. And, you know, for the fan base, they've got the paper bags over their head. And I know you don't want to make decisions solely based on the fans, but, I mean, aren't they the people who are buying your tickets? And I'm not saying you have to hire and fire everybody with what the fans say because all fans want is a winner. I just don't know how you run this back and then put it out there and say, this is actually going to be a winning product this time around. And, you know, it's funny because there's part of me that thinks we are too quick on firing coaches. And obviously we're a little too quick on giving up on quarterbacks because look at Sam Darnold and look at Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield. But those guys also had to mature, right? They had to get a lot better and they were on some pretty bad teams. I mean, Baker made the playoffs, but for Darnold and Jones, for sure. I'm usually like, all right, it's gotten so out of hand with firing coaches and GMs just so quickly. Yeah. But in some cases, I almost want to like this move. Like, hey, you believe in Mike McDaniel. Why don't you invest in him? But I just think it's the wrong time to do that kind of thing.
Well, Tua is different than all the quarterbacks you just mentioned. When I say, what's the biggest issue with Tua Tagovailoa, what's the first thing that pops to your mind?
I don't believe he'll stay healthy.
health. Yeah. Everybody. So, like, what is the long-term plan here? Because Tua almost retired. You got to remember, he said, I was inches away from walking away because of the concussion. So what are you really building with Tua? That's the other question. I understand, like, Sam Darnold came back and Daniel Jones and Geno Smith to some extent. But those are big, strong 6'4 guys. I have trouble believing that you can really build a champion around Tua Tagovailoa because of his health. And it's nothing against him. Also, combined with his height and size, makes him more vulnerable on the health front. And we've had concussion expert Chris Nowinski on so many times. We know these are cumulative over time. So how can you build around that quarterback is something we've asked on the show many times. And I think it's a fair question.
But this could be a calculation that can be made with Mike McDaniel. Is we could talk about Tua. We know he's not going to be their long-term answer, even if he's there next year. If you're looking at the head coaching cycle, who would you rather have tutoring a young quarterback that you're bringing in? We just saw Brian Daboll, a very embattled head coach, get a young quarterback, and you remember, oh, right, Brian Daboll actually knows a little bit about offensive football. Could Stephen Ross be looking at the landscape saying there's not going to be a better coach out there to tutor a young quarterback that we're trying to usher in? If they're number four right now, they could easily have the number one pick. That's definitely in play for them, especially if they keep knocking off all these players on their team and they just tank the rest of the year.
Yeah, they already traded Jalen Phillips to the Eagles.
Yeah, it could be them saying, listen, like, there's not guys out there that I want. I don't want to be Brian Callahan where I got a guy who's a buster trying to show a rookie the way. They might want to say, Mike McDaniel's a good offensive coach. No. Let's get in a young quarterback and let's see what he does.
Okay, but the problem is he doesn't have, I don't think he's got the rest of the locker room, right? And so, yes, I know the quarterback's most important, but what about Cliff Kingsbury?
But I think those guys are going to be gone. I think the idea that the locker room is going to be basically turned over.
I see Dave Canales kicking butt in Carolina. It's going to mean Josh Grizzard of Tampa Bay gets a job. That's obvious. And the fact that Liam Cohen's good, too. No, there's going to be a run on
OC. Trevor Lawrence has been terrible this year. I don't know if you
can. The defense has been amazing.
The team is good, though.
Right, but I mean, I'm talking about the quarterback. Like,
yeah, but I think there's going to be a lot of young offensive coordinators who get jobs. And it doesn't even, EJ, you're right. Like, it doesn't even matter. They're just going to, owners convince themselves, offensive guys. You're just hired Adam Gase, for God's sakes.
Well, that was a.
I almost spit on my coffee.
A mistake that.
That was like an epic debacle.
A mistake that owners will make till the end of the time. They see a good offense and it's hard to distinguish who's a genius behind it, and they'll hire that OC.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The insane headline that I saw yesterday is going to have to wait just a moment or two. Get back to what we saw Monday night. Is this the most embarrassing season that Jerry Jones has ever presided over? I say yes. MVP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.